Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, something to take into consideration for the Raiders front office that I was reminded of when watching the AFC Championship game. It's got to be a factor as they go into the next chapter of Raiders football. Plus, calls and texts and a whole lot more, all coming up on Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, January 31st, 2023.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn winds are raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. Have plenty of people hit me up each and every day and say, hey, Q, just checked you guys out on YouTube for the very first time. You're looking good, sounding good. That has nothing to do with me. Nothing at all. That is all because of my guy, Ari, on Twitter, at Ari Produces, does a fantastic job each and every day making sure we're looking good, sounding good, and more importantly, that we're up there each and every day. Today's edition of the Locked On Raider podcast is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. I'll tell you a lot more about them later on in the show, but got lots of news and notes to get to, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. On Monday Morning Quarterback on SI.com, Albert Breer put out the fact that the Raiders have not granted Carr's agent permission to seek a trade yet. He said, my understanding as of right now is the Raiders have not granted Carr's camp the ability to seek a trade, even though there are aforementioned teams out there with needs dealing him before the February 15th deadline when his $32.9 million base for next year and $7.5 million of 2024 money are fully guaranteed won't be easy. He absolutely won't be on the Raiders roster past that date. So there is the idea that teams that are interested in him should just wait for Las Vegas to cut him. So that was from Albert Breer, and he goes on to say a whole lot more in his Monday Morning Quarterback piece, and he does a fantastic job. Very credible source. He's a guy that was actually at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center during the summer, during training camp, spent some time with them, was able to pick his brain a little bit, and he does a lot of really good work with Peter King and company there at Monday Morning Quarterback. So the thing about it is, a lot of people ask me, well, Q, if they want to trade him, why won't they grant permission to the agent? And this is my gut feeling. This comes from nobody else but just me. So it could be right. It could be wrong. Could be way off base. It's just my gut feeling. That's what I'm going to roll with. To me, it makes sense because they want to make sure that they have a say. Dave Ziegler and company want to make sure that they're involved in the negotiations. Because if not, if they just say, hey, go ahead, Derek Carr's agent, Tim Younger, I believe is his name, go ahead and try to negotiate a trade. He can go to a team like Seattle, a team like Carolina, a team like the Jets, like Washington, whoever the case is, and say, hey, don't worry about a trade. We don't need you to trade for Derek. He's going to get released, but what kind of contract would you like to negotiate for a free agent? Instead of focusing on trying to get a trade, they focus on the free agent side of things, where he won't be a free agent till at least February 15th or right around that date when they decide to flat out release him. That's my gut feeling. So as long as Dave Ziegler and company are part of that, they can go to the Seahawks, the Panthers, the Jets, Washington, whoever else might be out there, Tampa Bay, even San Francisco. Look, they've got a need for quarterback. They can go there and say, hey, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to trade. What are you willing to do? And then they go back to Derek Carr and his company and his agent and say, hey, Seattle has this on the table. Do you accept it? No? Okay. Carolina? No? Okay. Jets? No? Okay. So at least they're involved and they know what the deal is out there. So instead of just having the agent work 100% against them, because again, as we've all mentioned on this show multiple times, why are they going to do any favors for the silver and black? So that's just my gut feeling. Again, that could be absolutely wrong. I tell you all the time, I roll with my gut. Sometimes that's right. Sometimes it's a good hunch. Sometimes it's just flat out gas. So that could be the case. But Albert Breer does go on to say in his piece that this week shapes up to be an important week in the Carr saga, and that's because it's Senior Bowl week, where the first piece of action really happens, where agents and GMs and decision makers all get together in Mobile, Alabama. And even though it's January 31st and it's not the new league year and there's not supposed to be negotiations going on, there is. Just like at the Combine, it is absolutely officially where negotiations start happening. Just like at owners' meetings, it happens all the time, and that's where they start to get parameters of any kind of deal. So Dave Ziegler is in Mobile, Alabama. If there's anything that we're going to hear about Derek Carr in this situation, it'll probably be sometime this week. So just go ahead and make sure you can kind of keep that on your radar. Pay attention to it. At the end of the day, Raider Nation, I would be shocked. I've said it multiple times, if the Raiders are able to find a trade partner. Most likely, they're just going to have to release him, and he's going to be a free agent. That is very surprising to have a quarterback of his caliber as a free agent. Also, wanted to tell you about A.J. Cole. He's headed back to the Pro Bowl. Chiefs punter Tommy Townsend is going to the Super Bowl, obviously, so he's not going to be able to participate. So A.J. Cole has been named to the Pro Bowl. The Raiders actually put out an email saying Cole joins teammates Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, and Josh Jacobs as Raider Pro Bowlers. So that gives him four of them in the Pro Bowl. Remember, this is a 6-11 team, so shout out to A.J. Cole. I know it doesn't mean anything for the Raiders as far as win-loss record, but when it all said and done, you know, when A.J. Cole is going back to the negotiation table to go ahead and look at a contract extension, having another Pro Bowl, two Pro Bowls in a row on his resume is a good thing to have. It's not going to be, oh, well, he filled in for Tommy Townsend because Tommy Townsend was in the Super Bowl. No, it just says that he was a Pro Bowler, and he was fantastic. He had a hell of a year. I think we all can agree with that. So shout out to A.J. Cole, headed back to the Pro Bowl. And, of course, that Pro Bowl is being played right here in Las Vegas. And the one thing I'll say about that, I do think this is an advantage that nobody's really talking about. And I'm trying to remember who brought it up today. Somebody brought it up, or I heard it. I can't remember what day it was I actually heard. But somebody had mentioned something about with the Raiders having the Pro Bowl and all these different folks in town, why not some of the stars like Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs and, you know, A.J. Cole and Max Crosby, you know, start talking to their players that they know, you know, the guys that are out there that they are very familiar with and say, hey, man, you want to come here and play in Vegas? We really would like you to be here in Vegas. This is what we could do. Start selling other players on the Raiders, and that's how they can get some free agents. I want to say maybe Ed Graney said that to me on Monday's show on the radio. I can't remember, but that was a great idea. I mean, look, there's no tampering when it comes to the players. They're all friends. They can reach out to each other right now. But if they're all at Allegiant Stadium, if they're all in Las Vegas, how come, you know, a guy like Max Crosby can't tell Jalen Ramsey, like, hey, man, you know, if the Rams put you out on the trade block, would you should come here. You know, suggest that you want to come here. I'll go and get in Dave Ziegler's ear and see if that works. You know, I mean, it can't hurt, right? Just sell the team. Sell the team to some of these players. That's what big-time players are able to do across the league, is sell other players on the team. Devontae Adams is somebody that people are going to want to play with. Max Crosby is somebody that other players are going to want to play with. Josh Jacobs, as long as he's back with the silver and black, and I do believe he will, is a guy that other players are going to want to play with. So those guys have an ability to sell the team, sell the vision to other players across the league. I thought that was pretty cool when Ed told me that. Speaking of selling, how about money? The franchise tag numbers are out. The salary for 2023 is out. That was actually the first piece of news that came down. I thought that was pretty interesting on Monday. It said the NFL informed teams that the 2023 salary cap will be a record $224.8 million for all 32 teams across the league. That's up from $208.2 million in 2022, $182.5 million in 2021, which was the COVID adjustment, $198.2 million in 2020, and $188.2 million in 2019. So when it's all said and done, when the Derek Carr situation is kind of wrapped up, there should be about $52 million, give or take a million or two, that the Raiders should have under the salary cap, about ninth as far as it goes with the rest of the league. So that's plenty of money to be players. You don't want them to go and spend all their money and try to build their team strictly through free agency. That's not a way to get it done. But you know that they can be players and they can absolutely make some moves. I've talked about the franchise tag. I brought that up because most likely running back Josh Jacobs is going to be hit with the franchise tag. For the quarterbacks, now that we all know what the salary cap is, for the quarterbacks is $32,416,000. So $32.4 million is the salary, is the franchise tag for quarterbacks. For running backs, $10,091,000. So 10.0, I don't even know how to say that. That sounds weird. $10,091,000. There you go, for a running back franchise tag. It's got to be a cute, creative way of saying that sounds better, but whatever. Wide receivers is $19.7 million. Tight ends is $11.3 million. Offensive linemen, $18.2 million. DNs, $19.7 million. D tackles, $18.9 million. Linebackers is $20.9 million. Cornerbacks, $18.1 million. Safeties, $14.4 million. And kickers and punters, $5.3 million. Running backs, I want to go back to that. 10.0? It just sounds weird. I don't know. Anyway, 10.0, $10 million. How about that? 10.1. Hell, let's just round it up. I don't know. You get the point. Most likely, Josh Jacobs is going to get hit with that $10.1 million franchise tag. Wanted to go ahead and pass that along. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two on Monday's show, I talked about the Eagles and what I learned from them as they're headed to the Super Bowl representing for the NFC. So I got to talk about what I learned about the AFC, which is, again, something that I already knew, but it just was so right there, right in your face as the game unfolded on Sunday as the Chiefs defeated the Cincinnati Bengals and punched their tickets to Arizona February 12th to play in Super Bowl 57. So we'll talk all about that coming up in segment number two of the show. Before we get to that, though, I do want to tell you about Blue Nile. And it's funny, Blue Nile pops up a couple times a year, right? Well, this time it's popping up is because February 14th. Not because Derek Carr's date on February 15th, but February 14th, Valentine's Day. It's coming up. That means romance is in the air more than usual. And I don't need to tell all the lovebirds out there that you probably had your date plans on the calendar for weeks, right? Whether you're celebrating this day of romance or whether you're ready to pop the question, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. At BlueNile.com, you can find the perfect piece of jewelry for life's special moments or even create the custom engagement ring of her dreams. Their simple outline tools let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft that perfect piece to your specifications. Blue Nile provides expert guidance, in-depth educational materials, and unique online tools that place you in control so you can forget the usual hassles of the jewelry shopping process and focus on the romance. Blue Nile's diamond price guarantees allow you to compare a competitor's diamond against one of theirs. Blue Nile can even meet or beat their price. Every order is insured and arrives quickly in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shipping is free, and so are returns. Right now, you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off BlueNile.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk to you about what stood out to me in a major way about Kansas City knocking off Cincinnati on Sunday in the AFC Championship game, punching their ticket to Super Bowl 57 played in Glendale, Arizona on February 12th. And it's wild because going into the game, well, actually, after the Chiefs knocked off the Jaguars, I came on the show and I felt like the Chiefs were going to lose to Cincinnati because Patrick Mahomes, his wheel was bad, right? And he had a high ankle sprain. So what's the chances that he's going to be able to go out there and even be close to 100% and guide his team to a win, a victory, and again, a Super Bowl 57 trip? Well, throughout the course of the week, it looked like he was starting to trend in the right direction, get better and better, but still there was no real test of that ankle, so nobody really knew what to expect. And then the Cincinnati Bengals started wolfing, which they shouldn't have done that. They did all that talking. The mayor started doing all that talking. I thought that was a bad decision. But that wasn't what stood out to me the most about the game. Think about this. Patrick Mahomes has a bad wheel. Juju Smith-Schuster is out. They lose their top cornerback in Snead. He's out. No Willie Gay. No Mecole Hardman. No Tony. They didn't have him. Kadarius Tony. He wasn't there. They were all injured. And they had a bunch of players step up that were drafted. You know, we talk about the draft all the time. We talk about being able to find guys that you can put into a pinch and realize that they can go out there and play and play a massive role. And all these young guys played a major role on Sunday for the Chiefs and helped them punch their ticket to the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 57. Think about this. Cornerback Trent McDuffie, he had 6 tackles and 2 passes defense. Defensive end George Karlaftis, sack. Wide receiver Sky Moore, 3 catches and had a big punt return at the end. Safety Brian Cook, 4 tackles and a pass breakup. Cornerback Joshua Williams, interception. Cornerback Jalen Watson, interception. Running back Isaiah Pacheco, 85 total yards. Rounds 1 through 7, they all contributed, and they're all rookies. That's really good drafting. That's getting really good guys that don't necessarily have the biggest names, but they knew that they fit with their team and were able to contribute. So when one guy went down, these guys were able to step up. That's one thing that stood out to me in a major way, and that's one thing that the Raiders need to start doing, which is building that talent cupboard with good quality draft picks. You know, it's been far too long they've been wasting draft picks after draft pick after draft pick. We've talked about it for a very long time, right? When the Raiders and John Gruden and company decided to reset everything and basically come away with 5 first-round draft picks, they completely whiffed. Only person that they got was Josh Jacobs, and, well, you see the situation that the Raiders are in with Josh Jacobs right now. I mean, that's really the only quality player that they got. I know Clelin Ferrell helps out. I know he contributes. He does a good job. But worth the price of admission? Not so much. So, you know, there's some quality players that the Raiders have picked up through the draft that are in later rounds, like a Max Crosby, like a Hunter Renfrow, you know, a Nate Hobbs, guys like that. But there's too many still question marks with a lot of their draft picks. So that's one major area that Dave Ziegler has got to improve on. And I know a lot of Raider fans, they start to talk about, well, yeah, well, the Raiders never draft well. They have a history of drafting guys and not being able to develop them. That's not wrong. You're not wrong about that. That goes back a long time. But that doesn't have anything to do with this staff that's there. This staff that's in place right now, they've only had one draft, and I thought they did pretty well. Dylan Parham was on the all-rookie team. He played all season long, did a great job as a third-round pick out of Memphis and plays multiple positions. Thayer Mumford, I've talked about him, seventh-round pick. He played a nice role, right? And I expect his role to be expanded. So I think that that's a good pick. The running backs, obviously the jury is still out on them. They didn't get much burn because of Josh Jacobs, especially Zamir White, the fourth-round pick. Everyone thought he was going to get some burn. Josh Jacobs put an end to that. I was like, basically, no, you're not going to be playing too much because I'm going to be out there all the time. And that's credit to Josh Jacobs. He led the damn team and led the league in rushing. And then, of course, the two defensive tackles, Butler and Farrell Jr., they've got to show their worth. But, I mean, they didn't have a whole lot to work with going into the 2022 draft. This year, they're going to have everything unless they go and make some kind of trade for somebody and give up their first-round pick and maybe more. It looks like they're going to have their full allotment of draft picks and then some. So that's going to be good to see what Dave Ziegler can do, because if he can get some quality players and get some contribution, not even asking for a cornerback, a DN, a wide receiver, a safety, two more cornerbacks and a running back to all contribute in a major game, the biggest game of their careers, but get some guys that you have some confidence in. That's one element of this. The other element of this is, and we've been talking about and having this debate back and forth, if you want to have an elite quarterback or you want to have an elite defense, right? Well, I'll tell you right now, if the Chiefs don't have that elite quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, even on one wheel like he was, and a bad wheel like he was, they're not in the Super Bowl. The thing about it is, this is something else that Dave Ziegler and company have to think about. Whoever they decide to get as their quarterback has to be someone that can run with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, but of course Mahomes and Herbert twice a year. So, you know, if you're going to make a move, the thing that puts the Raiders in a bad position, they're picking at number 7. Obviously, they expect to win more games next season, so they don't be expecting to pick in the top 10. If they pick in the top 10, something went terribly wrong. Not saying that they can't, but something went wrong if they pick in the top 10. I look at the quarterbacks there, the big three, and I'll admit that I don't know the ins and outs of every single one of them, so I'm not going to act like some draft guru. I don't see a guy that I think can just run and hang with a Patrick Mahomes or a Justin Herbert. Bryce Young, I like a lot out of Alabama. I just think that his frame is a little thin to think that he's going to be able to hang out and hold up through an NFL season, through 17 games and hopefully some playoff games. C.J. Stroud, I like him. But I don't know if I like him as he's going to be the end-all, be-all and go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes a couple times a year. I don't know. And Will Levis, he had a down year. I know he's got the tools. I know he's got the size. I know he's a guy that can hang in the pocket and deliver a nice deep ball. I get that. But I'm also not sold. So I look at those top three and say, is that the guy that I think is going to be the franchise quarterback moving forward and be that big-time difference maker? I don't see that. So then what do you do? Because at some point, like most known unknown always tells me, at some point the Raiders have to invest in a young quarterback. That's true. But where do they get that guy from? So they've got to find, at some point, they've got to find someone that can run with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Those guys ain't going anywhere anytime soon. They're just not. They're still young. They've got plenty of ball left in them. You know, obviously, some kind of injury happens. That's one thing. But you never want that, first of all. You never, too, can bank on, oh, they're going to have a short career. You can't do that. So that's got to be the standard as well. As much as I want a great defense, and I really do, I'd love to see a dominant defense. Nice defensive line, solid corners, you know, great linebacker play. I want to see that. I think the Raiders need that. They've had a bad defense for far too long. At some point, if that defense ain't clicking, you've got to have that quarterback that you can ride with. No matter how good the Chiefs' defense was on Sunday, and it was good against Cincinnati, if they didn't have Patrick Mahomes pulling the trigger, they don't win that game. It's just simple as that. He's a guy that can go in there and win a game pretty much on his own. Derek Carr wasn't a quarterback, in my opinion, that could win a game on his own. He needed to have a lot of things nice. And that's fine. That's what most of the league is. Most of the quarterbacks across the league are guys that need, you know, things to be really good around them and need to have weapons and need to have really good protection. But in the AFC West, with the quarterbacks that the Raiders have to go up against, they're probably going to need that elite guy. They're going to need that difference maker. They're going to need that guy that they feel like that anytime he's on the field, he could be the baddest dude. He can go out there with that swagger of, I'm the baddest dude on the field. They need that guy. I don't know if that guy is even in this draft. So then what do? You know, you go out and you get a veteran like a Brady or a Rodgers or other, and I don't know who that other is, but you go and get one of those guys, and then maybe you hope you can find that dude. Maybe not in this draft, maybe in the next draft. Like Caleb Williams, for example, I think is that guy. I think he's a gunslinger that can go and go toe-to-toe with any of the guys in the league, right? And, of course, it's not going to be overnight success. He's going to have to learn, but he doesn't come out till next year, and he most likely will be a top two, top three pick. The Raiders hopefully are not in that situation to draft him. So then what? Is there another guy that's coming out next year that the Raiders feel like can be their guy? They just need someone that they can feel like can go toe-to-toe with the best of them, knowing the competition. So they've got to draft really well. My biggest two keys that I took away from Kansas City punching their ticket to the Super Bowl, biggest two keys, you've got to continue to try to build up the cupboard of talent, and that's by drafting really well. You can't free agent your way to, you know, victory after victory after victory. I mean, yeah, it worked out for the Rams 1 year, and now look where they're at. They're about to have to sell off the farm to try to get draft capital and try to rebuild that cupboard, right? The cupboard looks pretty blank right now. But to their credit, they were able to get a Lombardi out of it. So now what? Right, they're in a salary cap situation, and they don't have very many draft picks. So they've got to figure that out. So the Raiders have to go into the draft, try to find a way to build that team through the draft, get all the talent possible, difference makers, good players, you know, dudes that aren't just good, but they're on the cusp of being great, right? Guys that are not just good football players, but guys that expect to be difference makers on the football field, whether it's offensively or defensively. They've got to find those dudes. That's a lot of work that their scouting department's got to do. And they've got to find an elite quarterback. And I don't know what they've got to do first. I think ideally, in my mind, they would build the team up as much as possible and maybe ride with a veteran for a couple years. And then if they have to make a move like the Chiefs because they feel like, hey, this team is right where it needs to be, they just need that quarterback to put them over the top, then they would be okay with trading up and going and getting a guy. But trading up right now would give them so much draft capital you'd have to give up. I saw a piece on The Athletic that I thought was really good, and they were talking about, they were putting out mock drafts, and they were saying that in this mock draft, the Raiders traded up from 7 to 3 to go get their guy, and they went up from 7 to 3. They traded with the Cardinals, and they ended up going and getting C.J. Stroud at number 3. But what they had to give up was the number 78 overall pick, I believe like the number 38 overall pick, and then 2 picks in the 140s. So it ended up being about, you know, 3 extra picks, including the 7th pick as well. So 4 picks total just to move up a couple spots. Basically, it's going to cost a lot to move up. So if you move up to go get a guy, the point is he has to be the right guy. You have to hit. If you trade up and you give up all that capital, especially when your team's not built, like the Raiders team is not, they got holes on the offensive line and defense, and you miss, then you've really set the team back. So in an ideal world for me, I think you build up the team first the best you can, unless you are just 100% sold on some quarterback that's in the top 10 right now that's going to be one of those top 3 guys, and you go make that move for him and you feel like that's going to be your quarterback of the future that can hang with Patrick Mahomes, okay, then go ahead and do that. But if you're not 100% sold, you've got to build that team, use a bridge guy like a Brady, probably ideally a Brady because he's not going to cost you any draft capital, and then hope you can get your guy in another draft, even if you have to trade up, and maybe that's the final piece of the puzzle. But Patrick Mahomes, even on one bad leg, can let you know how good he is and the fact that he can guide his team to where they are, which is obviously a Super Bowl. And that is, well, that's the plan for every team across the league, but that's somewhere where the Raiders want to be. They want to be playing in the last game of the season with an opportunity to hoist the Lombardi Trophy like both the Chiefs and the Eagles are. So that's all I got for you for segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Talked about what I learned from the Eagles on Monday's show. Wanted to talk about what I learned from the Chiefs on today's show. So Raider Nation, I'd love to hear from you. 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Your calls and texts are coming up next after I tell you about the title sponsor of today's show, which is FanDuel. And we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On. They are the number one sports book in America, and it is FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to first $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network,
your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with a text from Raider Al in Georgia. It's been a minute since we heard from Raider Al, but definitely appreciate him each and every time he chimes in on the show. He said, Q, what's up, young bro? Want to weigh in on the quarterback search and what I think we should do. And I know Raider Nation is not going to like this. We need to sign Brady for 1 year, draft a quarterback in the first round, and let him sit and learn, and the rest of the draft on that D we can address. The O-line in free agency, I don't want Rodgers. He'll cost too much, and he's a drama queen. We need to stay away from him, and Jimmy G is not better than Carr, and Brady is not going to command $40 million. Your thoughts, bro? That's Raider Al in Georgia, and it's funny. Basically was talking about that in segment number two. I don't know, honestly, if one of those three quarterbacks that are going to be there, you know, in the first round of this upcoming draft is that guy. If you draft a guy in the top 10, he's got to be that guy. If you can go out and get a Brady and let him sit for a year behind Brady, so be it. But you've got to make sure that you hit the right guy. And you do need to build up that defense because, again, the team has plenty of holes defensively and on the offensive line. They've got to fill some holes. So if you could do it that way, great. But if there's a hell of a defensive player there at number seven, go get him. Go get him because I just don't think – well, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know 100% that difference-maker quarterback that could run with Patrick Mahomes is actually there between Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and Will Levis. I'm just not 100% convinced of that. So thank you so much for that text, Raider Al. It's great to hear from you. Next up, got a call from Chadrice in New Jersey. He's calling to talk about Friday's show as it pertains to rookie quarterbacks versus veteran quarterbacks. And then he brings up Hunter Renfrow. Here he is, Chadrice from New Jersey.
Yo, what up, Q? Chadrice from New Jersey. Yo, man, I'm so hyped right now. I'm calling because I just finished listening to Friday's show, and I'm calling because the last caller from Friday's show had a lot of great points. But for some reason, I mean, a lot of great points, like use the draft picks for defense, solidify that defense, right? Plug in a veteran quarterback. But for some reason, I'm fired up about Hunter Renfrow. A lot of people keep saying he ain't the guy he used to be. Give him one season, he had a little dip. You know what I mean? We got to remember 2021. I know a lot of things changed since 2021, but the man was third in Renfrow for a reason. Now I'm saying if we take, you know, Tom Brady, for example, he'll be just like all those other, you know, like I don't even have my notes, my thoughts together on this call, but I'm just saying think about how Renfrow would thrive if the ball was thrown to him and he didn't have to reach back and make some kind of spectacular catch and then do all these juice moves. Imagine that the ball is placed where it needs to be. And I love Derek Carr still, but I wish him the best on his new journey because we got to move on like we've been talking about this all season so far. But if Tom Brady, you plug Tom Brady in, he's going to know, Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady, they're going to know what to do with Edelman. He's going to have a breakout, you know, a comeback season, as it were. But then you take Aaron Rodgers. Now, this is one thing I did Google real quick. Randall Cobb is 5'10". Guess how tall Hunter Renfrow is? 5'10". I think Aaron Rodgers would know what to do with Hunter Renfrow as well. So, guys, like, I don't want to see Hunter Renfrow go. I don't want to see Waller go. I just think the offense will be great if we get that veteran. I also, you know, potentially believe that, like you said, if they draft a quarterback high, if that's the case, I would rather have Brady for 1 year because we know Brady ain't going to play until he's 50. You know what I'm saying? Brady would be the perfect transition to that rookie quarterback coming in compared to Rodgers coming in. Do he want to play 2 years, whatever? Yo, that's my time, man. Thanks so much for taking the call. And just win, baby.
Good stuff, my man. Thanks for the call. I like the call and love the thoughts on Renfrow. I mean, he's a guy, honestly, I'm surprised didn't have a better season than he did. And I know a lot of that had to do with injury. But he, even at the beginning of the season when he was still there, didn't look like he was himself. He didn't look like he was that guy that I expected him to be. Usually in a Josh McDaniels offense, that slot receiver is really good. Right, I mean, you can go all the way back to the Randy Moss days, right? Randy Moss put up, obviously, the big numbers that everybody talked about, but go and look at that slot receiver, right? What did Wes Welker do? It was Wes Welker then, right? I believe it was Wes Welker. He put up some big numbers. I know the slot receiver. It's either Wes Welker or whoever they had. You know, Amendola, you know, Julian Edelman. They've had so many of those slot receivers there, but I think it was Wes Welker. Had a fantastic season with actually, you know, better numbers than Randy Moss did. You know, not touchdown catches and yards, but just for catches in general. Like, he had a hell of an impact. So that was always a position that I thought was going to really thrive in this Josh McDaniels offense. And for Hunter Renfrow, it just didn't. I'm hoping that he's around moving forward. I'm hoping that Darren Waller's around moving forward. I really am. I just think, again, like I said last offseason, that this Davante Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs, that whole scenario, man, needs an opportunity to see what it would look like if it works. Obviously, DC's not going to be the quarterback, so they got to find a quarterback. But if you're going to bring in a Brady or any kind of a veteran quarterback, you might as well give him as many weapons as possible. You bring in Brady with Davante Adams and Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, and have a strong running game with Josh Jacobs, you bolster up that offensive line and give some quality talent on the defensive side of things, you might have something. I'm not saying you have a Super Bowl winner, but you might have a team that, you know, pushes the playoffs and does some things, you know, makes some noise in the playoffs. But again, they've got to get the right players in place, and you got to get the right quarterback in place. Thank you so much for that call. I appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Michael in Buffalo. It says, Q, my name is Michael from Buffalo, big Raider fan, been a fan since the late 80s. Imagine going to school when the Raiders lost 51-3 in the championship game to the Bills. Not fun. Glad I found your podcast. Really enjoy it and listen every day. My thought in the quarterback situation, I don't like bringing Rodgers in. Along with the capital we would need to get him, we are getting someone who needs to learn the offense. Also getting a guy who's talking about winning MVPs instead of chips. We don't need that. Brady is too old, in my opinion, and just like when he left New England, we are not one quarterback away from winning. My thought is to get a stud at seven, whether it's an O lineman or D lineman or linebacker or cornerbacker, doesn't matter. We need any of that. So he's just saying get a stud player at seven. Then in the second or third round, get that quarterback who can start in 2 to 3 years. Rest of the picks can be used to get the best player available because we need help all over. Quarterback, I know it's a small sample size, but Stidham balled out versus the 49ers. Chief games, he was more pedestrian, but that game was over before it started. Stick with him, frees up a lot of cap space to get help elsewhere. Excited to see what the Brain Trust can do this year with a full slate of picks. They did well last year without having one or a two, and we may have more if they can move Carr instead of release him. Also, I see Rich Bisaccia is visiting the Colts again. If they hire him, Carr would be a great fit there. Something to look at. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Q. That is, again, from my guy Michael in Buffalo. Thanks for the text, my man. I appreciate you. And a lot to unpack there. Rich Bisaccia, I saw that note that he's visiting the Colts again. I think that, yeah, Derek Carr would be a natural fit there in Indy if he ends up getting that job. I still think Jeff Saturday is going to end up getting that job, but that's just me. As far as getting a guy in another round, a later round, I'm just not 100% sold that franchise guy is in the draft this year. I'm just not 100% sold. I know a lot of people like Hendon Hooker. I thought what he did at Tennessee was nice. Obviously put up some big numbers and didn't throw very many picks, but his system was very simple to pick up. He's coming off of ACL, so it'd be ideal to be able to redshirt that guy and let him sit, but I just don't know if he's a dude. Anthony Richardson, I think he's got the biggest upside. He's got the biggest ceiling out of all the quarterbacks in the draft. I just don't think he's that guy. I think he's a hell of an athlete, not much of a quarterback. That's just me. I could be wrong, but that's just my gut feeling. Levitz, I talked about him before. He's coming off a down season at Kentucky. I don't know if that was more him or that was, you know, the system, the team, the lack of weapons. I know a lot of that had to do with all of that. All of that had to, you know, played a major factor, but I don't know. I just look at the quarterbacks and I'm not sold that there is a dude, like a real deal fantastic quarterback that even if you let him sit behind somebody for a year or two. And then on top of that, you mentioned just starting Jarrett Stidham. Is that who you really want to go to battle with next season? Is that the guy that you really want to start? And I know, again, like you said, the sample size was small. We only saw two games from him. He did really well against the 49ers, but he lost. Didn't do very well against the Chiefs and also lost. I don't know if that's the guy you want to go in and say, okay, we're going to put all the, you know, put everything on him. Because look, if McDaniels and Ziegler and Champ Kelly and Patrick Graham, if they don't have a better 2023, they might not get a 2024. So I don't know if they are able to go into the season with Stidham and then have a guy sitting behind him and then never get an opportunity to play him. And I don't know if they want to go into the season and knowing that they have to have a better season than they did this past year with the rookie either. So I feel like it's almost like a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation, if you know what I mean. So thank you so much for that text. It's going to be interesting. The one thing that's good about it is we'll know before the draft, well before the draft, if the Raiders have a veteran quarterback or not. right? We'll kind of know what their plan is far before late April when the draft happens in Kansas City. So thank you again. I definitely appreciate you. And that's really all I got time for. I went a little long in segment one and two. I got a call from Jacob in Fresno, a text from Jolly Roger J, a text from Jason in the 304. All those will come up on tomorrow's show. We'll have more news and notes of the day. And, of course, we'll have plenty of conversation here on the Locked On Raiders podcast as well. Again, thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Thanks to Ari at Ari Produces on Twitter. He's doing a fantastic job. And Raider Nation, I definitely appreciate you for checking us out and giving us a few minutes of your time each and every day, if that's what you're able to do. Till tomorrow, Raider Nation, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Love on your family. Be safe out there in those streets. It's a dangerous place to be. But until tomorrow, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.